I bring your attention tonight to the book of beginnings. It's in the book of Genesis, of course. And we've had our scripture reading from Genesis chapter 24. This is a fascinating chapter, it really is. And if you'll permit me tonight, pardon me please, I'm not just going to preach, I'm going to testify. I'm going to tell a little bit of my story this evening while I'm showing you some things from the scriptures that God has been dealing with me about. I learned years ago that the best thing for me to do is let God preach to me and then let others listen in. So I'm preaching to me tonight. Is that all right? I've just come through in the last 14, 16 months of my life, the most interesting season of my life to this point. You think, you know, you get over certain hurdles and you get situated and get settled and it's going to be smooth sailing. And then the Lord just turns everything upside down. You ever have God do that to you? I've been serving for almost 20 years in Knoxville, Tennessee, at a great church and great college. Matter of fact, Jason and Mackenzie here tonight. Some of our graduates, and I thank the Lord for them and their friendship. So encouraging to see them. And I've been in a wonderful place serving the Lord, and I've had the time of my life. And about 16 months ago, the Holy Spirit started stirring my nest up. You ever have your nest stirred? And the Lord said, all right, it's time now to leave this place. It defied all reasoning, all rationale, all plans. We were comfortable, settled, set. A future plan, everybody assumed certain things, and the Lord said, now, that's enough. And I argued with the Holy Spirit. Let me just tell you, that is not an argument you can win. I tried. I gave the Lord all the reasons why I should stay and why that was where I was supposed to be and how much better it would be if I stayed there. And finally, the Lord had to bring me to a breaking point, to the end of me, and my plans, my desires, my dreams. And God used certain scriptures at that season of my life to show me what I was supposed to be doing. Now, I'm telling you, on the other side of that decision now, doing with my life, full-time evangelistic work, what God has put in my heart to do, I can tell you, it's wonderful. It's better than anything I could have imagined. You say, is there faith involved? Yes, a lot of it. Are there struggles? Yes, different than where I was before. And everything in life, there are always certain struggles and things to deal with. But I'm having the time of my life because I know I'm in the center of the will of God. But I got to tell you, when that process was going on, I couldn't see all of that. All I could see was the struggle and the stress and the strain and what I was going to have to give up. May I just say to you, whatever it is God calls you to give up, He's about to give you much more than that. There is nothing better in this world than the will of God. Nothing. Frankly, for almost two decades, I've been preaching that to teenagers. And I told my wife, I said, it was a lot easier to preach that to the young people than it is to live it. And so we stepped out. And you know, it's amazing. When you go through seasons like that in life, the Word of God takes on whole new meaning to you. I could tell you literally hundreds of scriptures tonight that God used along the journey, like mile markers and guideposts for me. I'd be sitting in a meeting like this, and a preacher would get up and preach, and not even know, have any idea what I was dealing with. And it was like God's message to me. No one else around me even knew. And God said, this is for you, buddy. That's wonderful when God does that. And one of the places that God has used in my life this season is in Genesis chapter 24. Because Genesis 24 is the story of Abraham. How many of you know who Abraham is? Abraham sending out a servant to find a bride for his son Isaac. I saw this week in the news that a fellow about 92 years of age, I believe it was, took out a $900 ad in a major American newspaper to find a wife for his 48-year-old bachelor son. And his son didn't know it. A businessman got up one morning, picked up the paper, opened it up, and saw his picture in the paper with an ad for a wife. That is not a good idea, let me tell you. Basically, what Abraham did was something very close to that. He gave his servant an impossible task. Aren't you glad God specializes in the impossible? He sends him to a foreign country, back to the homeland, to find a woman that he's never seen and not sure how to find, who's going to be the wife for this very special boy named Isaac. Impossible. And yet, when you read through Genesis chapter 24, and I can't take time to read through all of it tonight, go home and meditate on it for yourself, It's amazing to see how God led this servant. It's interesting, but his name is never found in the chapter. Now, his name's Eleazar, but his name is never found in the chapter. And I think one of the most exciting messages of the chapter is that the will of God's for everybody. The will of God's not just for Abraham and for Isaac. The will of God's for the man in the middle. The will of God is for the unnamed man, for the anonymous woman, for the person that is not standing on the platform preaching. In other words, what I'm preaching tonight is not just for people in ministry, it's for all of God's children. If you want to discover why God puts you on this planet, then take Genesis 24 and say, Lord, open this to me. Holy Spirit, be my teacher. And let me just give you something to chew on before we read our text verse together. Think about this. This unnamed servant was a part of something that was about to be a blessing to the entire world. As a matter of fact, through the line that Isaac and Rebekah will have comes Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of the blessing that this fellow got to be a part of just by finding out what God wanted him to do. And I want to ask you a question tonight. Have you ever prayed that God would make you a worldwide blessing? Has it ever dawned on you that from Jupiter, Florida, you could touch the world? Did you ever imagine that though you may never do something that someone says, this is great, you could be the piece of the puzzle in the beautiful picture of God's unfolding drama of redemption and stand someday at the judgment seat of Christ and look back on every step of it and say, I see what the Lord did. You see, you only get to give that testimony when you get on the other side. So I want to let Eleazar testify to us tonight. Look at Genesis chapter 24 and verse number 26. He's about to testify. And the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. May I tell you, this is after he finds the woman. It's a lot easier sometimes to worship after, isn't it? And look at verse 27. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. And then I want you to mark this in your Bible. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. I, being in the way, the Lord led me. Can I tell you what everybody wants? Everybody wants a preacher like me to get up and tell them what the will of God for them is. I guarantee you, your pastor deals with this on a regular basis, people trying to make a decision. So they come to God's servant, they come to a preacher, and they say, surely he can help me. So tell me what the will of God is. I'm going to really bust your bubble tonight, all right? I cannot tell you the will of God, but I can tell you the way to the will of God. He said, I being in the way, the Lord led me. I can't tell you the will of God for your life. But I can tell you this, God has a way that he leads his children. And watch, when you follow his way, you find his will. Somebody says, this is a mystery to me. I don't know what we're supposed to do. And by the way, I'm not just talking about people choosing a career options right now. In this auditorium at this moment, there are hundreds of decisions about to be made. There are young people here trying to figure out what you're going to do with the rest of your life. There are people in this auditorium trying to figure out, is he the one? Is she the one? When I was a teenager, I met a girl and I liked her a lot. She was a pretty girl and I really liked her. And my mother said to me one day, how many of you ever had your mother say something you didn't like to hear? My mother said to me one day, I don't think she's the girl for you. I didn't like to hear that at all. But guess what? Mama and Jesus were both right. And I look back now and I see my wife of 19 years sitting back here and I say, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Think what God did for me and what God delivered me from. See, the will of God is wonderful if you let God make the choice. Jim Elliot, famous missionary to the Auk Indians, once wrote, God always gives his best to those who leave the choice with him. I don't have time to go there tonight, but in Psalm 47, verse number 4, the Bible says this, the Lord shall choose our inheritance for us. That's powerful. You know what I want to do? I want to choose. I want to make the decisions. You know what most people do? Most people do not live a led life. They live a planned life. Now look, we're all planners. Let me just ask, how many of you are fixers by nature? Would you raise your hand? Yeah, join the club. So we want to fix every problem, fix everybody else, plan our life out. So people plan for this year, and they plan for holidays, and plan for vacation, and plan for the new house, and plan for retirement. If you're not very careful, you fall in this trap, you start making God's plans for him. And I want to tell you that the great life is not the planned life. The greatest life is the led life. You say, but I don't know all the details. That's the point. You got to live it by faith. You got to walk every day with your eyes on the Lord, saying, Lord, I don't have any idea what's next. And God says, good. And he takes you by the hand and he leads you to the next step. You see, watch, please. The will of God is not a destination. It is a journey. Let me say it another way. The will of God is not future, it's present. You know what most people think? Most people think someday out there somewhere I'm going to arrive at the will of God. It's not the way it works. The will of God, look please, is every day, moment by moment, learning to walk with God and enjoy the journey and get to know him better and let God be God and let God choose for you. And I repeat, God always gives his best to those who leave the choice with him. But it means you got to take your hands off your life. I worked in education for years, and so I'm very familiar with a syllabus. How many of you are familiar with a syllabus? You walk into a class and the professor says, now here's your syllabus. Theoretically, it's supposed to have all the details for the requirements. You know that never works, does it? Well, that's the idea. You know how people want the will of God? Just like this. Look, please. Give me the syllabus. Write out for me everything you want for the rest of my life. Let me read it over, and then I'll decide whether I'm going to do it or not. Hear me, church. God's will never comes like a syllabus. It unrolls like a scroll. It doesn't come like a finished volume where you get to read all the details up front. You get to read it at the judgment seat of Christ looking back on it. It unrolls like a scroll, one step at a time, one page at a time, one decision at a time, one moment at a time. And if you will learn to stay in the way with him, God Almighty himself will lead you to his perfect will. And I don't know about you, it blows my mind that the Creator God of the universe who said light, and there was light, and it was good. No, it was very good. Wants to speak to me and guide my life moment by moment and day by day. So somebody says, all right, I'm game. I want that. How do you get it? Everybody has to come by it the same way. Look at Genesis chapter 24. Let's back up just a page here and look at verse number 7. Here's the first principle. By the way, let's just do something tonight, all right? I want you to find something to write on. Would you do that now? So find a piece of paper. I think on the back of your bulletin I saw a place for sermon notes perhaps. But find something to write on, something to write with, and to borrow a pen, find a pencil, prick your finger and write in blood, whatever you got to do tonight, but find something to take a few notes on. And if some of you husbands are like me, you're nudging your wife now saying your writing's better than mine, you take notes for both of us. But I want you to do something. I want you to write these principles down so you can take them home with you tonight. And long after this meeting's over and long after I'm gone from here, I hope the Lord will use them in your life like he's using them in mine. Here's the first principle. Look at verse 7. Abraham says to Eliezer before he leaves these words, the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. Watch it, watch it. He shall send his angel before thee. And thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. Look what he says in verse 7. He says, I know you're going where you've never been before, but I got good news. The angel's already there. May I just say to every person in this room tonight, wherever it is you're about to go, whatever decision you're about to make, and whatever path God's about to send you down, God's already there. He got there before you got there. And he's going to meet you when you get there. So here's the first principle. Here's the way to the will of God. Number one, write it down, please. Trust completely. It's a walk of faith. Wherever you are, whatever intersection on the journey, you've got to believe that the eternal God has your future in his hands and in His control. Isn't it interesting that God spoke the whole world into existence, but when it came to Adam and Eve, He took them in His own hands? You know what that is? That's God saying from the very beginning, He always expected that we would be in His hands. You know where we get in trouble? When we get out of His hands. When we get to the place where we're shaping and we're molding and we're forming, friends, I'm sorry, that's not faith. When the dollar sign makes the decision, that's not faith. When comfort guides your life, that's not faith. As a matter of fact, the faith life sometimes will get you way out yonder on the edge where you say, I don't really like it out here, but God says, no, but out here on the edge, you've got to trust me completely. And I'm just going to tell you, God's messenger, God's angel, in another place, capital A, the Lord Jesus, He's not going to make a mess of your life. Do you really think that the God who is going to keep you out of hell is going to mess your life up while you're here on this earth? No, no. God has great things in store for those who are willing to trust Him completely. Here's a second principle. Look at verse number 10. The Bible says, and the servant, that's Eleazar, took 10 camels of the camels of his master, and what did he do, church? He departed. For all the goods of his master were in his hand, and he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. This is amazing to me. But Abraham no sooner says to him, I want you to go find a wife for my son Isaac, and the angel of the Lord is going to go ahead of you and work out all the details. Don't worry about that. Trust God. Immediately, what does a servant do? He packs his camel, gets on his camel, and rides. He heads out into the unknown. Here's the second principle. Would you write it down, please? Number one, trust completely. Number two, obey immediately. Can I tell you what I learned? I learned that the will of God is a step at a time. You know what I had to do? I had to take one step. I did not know what the second step was. But I had to take a step. And this is amazing. But when I took the first step in faith and obedience to God, suddenly God started making things clear. Things that were muddy, things that were cloudy, things I could not understand, suddenly the Lord started to open the way before me. Let me tell you why. Because if you want to know the will of God, you've got to start by doing the will of God. Jesus said it this way. He said, if any man will know my doctrine, He must do my will. In other words, we want to flip it around. We want to say, well, tell me everything so I'll know it, and then I'll determine what I'm going to do. God says, no, no, no. You start right where you are doing the will of God, and when you do that, you will know more. Let me get down middle for a moment. This is the will of God for you, your sanctification. This is the will of God for you, that in everything you give thanks. How do I know that? Because that's what the Bible says. So if you're not doing the will of God right where you are, why do you expect God's going to show you the will of God for the next step? We all have this idea the will of God's some big thing. I think the will of God is mostly lots of little things all put together to form a big thing called your life. It's funny. People look at certain individuals and they remember them for their great days. You know, there's a few extraordinary days in life. Your birthday, that's a good one. I remember the day I held our children in my hands for the first time. That's powerful. New life. I remember the day Tammy and I got married. We got married on Friday the 13th. That was the luckiest Friday the 13th of my life. That was a good day. I remember the day I got saved. I remember the day God called me to be a preacher as a boy, teenager. That's a great day. But I'm going to be honest with you. I can count most of the extraordinary days on two hands. Can I tell you that most of life is not made up of extraordinary days, it's made up of ordinary ones. Hear me, please. Men are remembered for their extraordinary days, but they're made on their ordinary ones. Everybody wants to talk about Peter standing up on the day of Pentecost and thundering forth the Word of God. You ever think about all the unrecorded days of Peter? We see Paul standing up on Mars Hill and saying, let me tell you who the unknown God is. Oh, how God used him. You ever think about all the days where he didn't write any scripture and he just literally walked from one village to the next? See, some of you right now, you're living such ordinary lives and you think nobody knows where you are. God knows where you are. And you think you're not a part of something really big. Oh, you're part of the biggest thing going on planet Earth. It's called the work of God. And what you've got to do is find your place in the will of God, and whatever God tells you to do, start right there. Obey immediately. Here's a third principle. Look at verse number 12. And he said, O Lord God, of my master Abraham, I pray thee. Would you mark that? I pray thee. Send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Number three, write this down. Pray specifically. We pray such general prayers. Lord, bless me. Lord, help me. No. We don't get specific answers to prayer because we don't pray specifically. Finish this verse. You have not because ye... Y'all know that verse too. But see, we don't apply it like we ought to. You begin to pray specifically. God will give you specific answers. This is amazing. But Eleazar, here's what he prayed. He said, Lord, I'm going to pray that the first woman that comes out and I say, would you give me a drink? Not only will she give me a drink, she'll water all my camels. Now, if you don't know much about camels, camels drink a lot. This is interesting to me, but the first woman that comes along, he says, would you give me a drink? He never gets the rest of it out of his mouth. She says, sure, I'll get you something to drink, and let me just go ahead and water the rest of your camels too. I'm going to tell you something. That's a real woman right there to water all the camels. And at that moment, Eleazar had entered into the greatest adventure of all. It's called the adventure of faith, where he was praying specifically, and God was hearing and answering his prayer. I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing like getting direct answers to prayer from God. Notice how God did it. Look down to verse 15. It came to pass before he had done speaking. I love that. Write this reference in the margin of your Bible. Isaiah 65:24. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Look, God already knows what you're going to ask for. He's just waiting on you to ask. You want to find the way to the will of God? Number one, trust completely. Number two, obey immediately. Number three, pray specifically. Number four, come with me, please, to verse 21. Interesting verse. After she says, I'll take care of the camels. After his prayer is answered, look at verse 21. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace. That's something we're not real good at, you know. He was quiet. To wit, whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. Would you write down number four, please, in your list? Wait patiently. Can I tell you that probably the greatest lesson I learned in the last year and a half of my life is something a little more than I did, at least, about what it means to wait on the Lord. See, God's timing is different than our timing. There were days I wanted to jump. Can I tell you, sometimes you jump, you make a mess out of it. And sometimes the best thing you can do is just wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Let me tell you what God will do. As you wait patiently, God will begin confirming some things both in you and around you. May I say to you that sometimes the greatest work God is doing is not the thing he's going to have you do or the decision you're going to make. It's what he's doing inside of you. Can I tell you something God did in me over the last year and a half and he's still doing? He's teaching me that I don't have all the answers. In fact, I don't have any of the answers. And that's exciting. Somebody said to me the other day, oh, I guess you got big plans. I said, no, not really. They said, you don't? I said, no. I said, to be honest with you, I'm still trying to figure it all out. They looked at me kind of puzzled, and I said to them, and it's the most exciting thing I've ever been a part of in my life. I'm going to tell you why. Because as you wait on God, I love this, God works. See, we want to work, don't we? We want to act. We want to get it done. Make it happen. Make a decision. Get out there and get it done. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Make something of yourself. And God says, no, I think what I want you to do is just sit down right there and wait on me. And while you're waiting, God's working. F.B. Meyer said something in a little thing he wrote called The Secret of Guidance, outside the Bible, probably the most helpful thing I read over the last year and a half. He told the story, and I thought of it this week, being here on the coast and watching your ships coming and going, boats coming and going constantly. I watched those boats and I remembered the story that F.B. Meyer told of a certain captain that was a marvelous captain. He'd been at it a long time. One night a young seaman was with him and they were coming through into the harbor and they were coming through an area where there were rocks all around and reefs and it was so dark. You could barely see anything. And the young man said to the captain, do you come this way often? He said, all the time. He said, have you ever run aground? He said, never once. He said, what's the secret? The seasoned captain said, see off in the distance, see those three lights? Yes. Keep your eye on them. What do you mean? Just keep your eye on them. Watch. Just sit here, wait, and watch. In a few minutes, as they got nearer to land, nearer to port, coming into the harbor, suddenly those three lights began to shift. Really, the lights weren't shifting. The ship setting sail on a certain course, and as it did, those three lights became one. And the captain turned to the young man and said, "Young man, I learned this. When those three lights become one light, I know I have a clear path to my destination." And F.B. Meyer said, "When the Word of God and circumstances and the counsel of godly people, when those three all line up, you will know now you have a clear path to your destination." Can I tell you what I learned? None of that comes overnight. It's a process. So you got to trust completely, you got to obey immediately, you got to pray specifically, and then you got to wait patiently. Then number five, write this one down. Look at verse 26. The man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. Number five, worship humbly. Can I tell you that discovering the will of God is not about finding the will of God? Finding the will of God is about knowing God. Let me repeat what I just said. The greatest thing about finding God's will is not finding something or some place, no, or some answer. It's about knowing the God who is able to guide your life. It's wonderful. 2 years ago, I would have never dreamed I would be at this juncture in my life where I am. But can I tell you this, and I got a long ways to go, and I want you to pray for me. I need your prayers. But I know I'm on God's path for me. And I feel like I've come to know the Lord in a better way. And I want to know Him much more. Moses. Moses leading a million people through the desert. He stops. Exodus 33, read it sometime. He says, "Oh Lord, show me now Thy way." That's what I'd be praying to. And then he said this, "that I may know Thee." If I prayed it, I'd have said, "Show me now Thy way so I don't look like a fool in front of all these people. Show me now Thy way so I can know the way. Show me now Thy way so I don't get lost out here in the desert." But Moses, who understood it wasn't about the way, it was about the God of the way, said, "Lord, show me now Thy way that I may know Thee." Let me tell you what the Lord will do. The Lord will bring you to the end of yourself and the end of your resources and the end of your intelligence and the end of your own wisdom. He'll bring you and He'll get you so alone. There'll be nobody that really understands where you are. And at that moment, God will come to you. Say, what do you do then? Look, please. You get down on your face and you worship humbly. You give God the glory for it and let the Lord have His rightful place in your life. I give you these last two quickly. Look, please, at verse 50. Then Laban, that's Rebekah's daddy, in case you didn't know, and Bethuel, that's mama, answered and said, watch this, "The thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken." Number six, would you write it down? If you're going to find the way to the will of God, number six, listen carefully. Let me tell you something I learned. I learned that when it is really God, God will confirm it all around. In other words, the Lord works on both ends. I had people, counselors. By the way, the Bible says the multitude of counselors are safety, but it doesn't matter who the multitude is. Be very careful who you talk to. I had wise people that didn't know anything about where I was, and they would say things to me. And the Holy Spirit would use what they said. Now, I wasn't guided by that. No, I was being guided by God, God's Word, God's Spirit at work in me, and all of that. But God used circumstances and He used people to confirm it. Look, I've been working with young people a long time. Could I just speak to the young people for a moment? If you're about to make a decision, I'm talking about where you're going to go to college and who you're going to marry and what you're going to do the rest of your life. The young people that I've worked with through the years, hundreds and hundreds, thousands of them, who have messed up, have been the ones who refused to wait and let God confirm His way for them. They found something, they were impulsive, and they said, "That's it for me." And they dove in. And I'm telling you, when you begin to move without God's green light, you are in trouble. Get in tune with heaven, Vance Havner said. Look, get sensitive enough to God and listen carefully for the voice of the Lord. God will use a lot of messengers, but it'll all be coming from Him. And God will speak into your life to show you the next step to His will. Here's the last one. Look at verse 56. Her brother and her mother tried to talk him out of leaving. Look at verse 56. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Number 7, would you get this? Act quickly. Now, up to this point, I've said, wait, wait, be patient, hold tight, listen. Let me just tell you, at some point, once God shows you what you're supposed to do, do it. I'm going to tell you why. Because the devil will try to talk you out of it. Once you know, obey. No delays, no detours. Begin right where you are and do it immediately. I have no idea really who I'm preaching to tonight. No idea. I just felt definitely impressed the Holy Spirit to bring this message. I'm praying that God will use it in the lives of lots of people because He's using it in my life. But let me just get down to application for a moment. You have to start wherever you are. See, all of you are at different seasons and stages in life and decisions. So which one of these are you at? Which one did God tonight say, hey, that's you? Then begin there. You know what I learned about the will of God? You discover it when you begin to get involved in it. I got saved, Brother Blaylock, as a 5-year-old boy. I wanted to get baptized, but I was scared to death of water. Didn't want to put my head underwater. So my mother said, we're going to fix that. She took me to the local YMCA and she paid a guy named Bill to give me swimming lessons. I could still have nightmares about Bill to this day if I let myself. Bill had several sessions with me and he tried to show me things and teach me things. And then one day I showed up for my swimming lesson and Bill proudly announced, Scott, today's the day you get to learn to swim. I said, wonderful. I don't know if I thought he had a little magic pill he was going to give me or some special thing he hadn't taught me yet. He walked me out in the pool area and he took me down to an end of the pool I hadn't seen before. We stood there on the edge of the pool for just a few minutes talking. And before I knew it, Bill had picked me up and thrown me into the deep end of the pool. Somebody said, what happened? Well, I'm here tonight, aren't I? It wasn't graceful. It wasn't Olympic. But I learned to keep my head above water. And I didn't learn it sitting on the side of the pool, splashing around with my feet, listening to Bill talk about it. I learned it when I got out in the deep end and had to learn. And you're not going to learn the way to the will of God by listening to somebody like me talk about it. You're going to learn it by getting off the side of the pool and getting right in the middle of it and saying, now, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing, but I abandon myself to you. My life is yours. You choose. You choose. And then, miracle of all miracles, God begins to move and work. A young woman about 40 years of age came into a meeting like this one night. She sat down in the meeting, she listened to the preacher, and she listened to the spirit of the meeting, and God really worked in her heart. Oh, it was wonderful. They came to the end of the meeting, and they did something that they don't do much anymore, but they closed with a big prayer time. And everybody gathered around the altar in the old-fashioned way and people praying out loud. And that'd scare a lot of people today. I know that. Her name was Adelaide Pollard. Adelaide knelt down next to an elderly woman, a saint of God who knew how to pray. By the way, may God multiply their kind. Our generation needs it. Adelaide knelt next to a dear elderly woman and she said that woman's prayer was so fervent, so earnest, it just captured her. She never heard anybody talk to God that way. She said finally the woman got to the end of her prayer and she just threw her hands up in the air. And she said, well, Lord, I guess what I'm saying is, why don't you just have your own way with us? Adelaide Pollard, 40 years of age, went home that night and got in bed and she couldn't get those words out of her mind. Lord, just have your own way with us. She got out of bed that night, got a pen and a piece of paper, and wrote these words. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I'm the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yield and still. And you know what we need? We need some old saints of God, and we need some young people. Some young couples and some teenagers and single adults to get in an altar again and say, Lord, why don't you just have your own way with me?
Because that, my friends, is the way to the will of God.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.